We can learn a lot from this first prayer of repentance and intercession. At the time of the evening sacrifice, I, Ezra, rose in my wretchedness. And with cloak and mantle torn, I fell on my knees, stretching out my hands to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Then he says, "My God, I am too ashamed and confounded to raise my face to you. Oh my God, now why? For our wicked deeds are heaped up above our heads, and our guilt reaches to heaven." Not just mine, everybody's. And so when we pray, how many times we should be praying for the whole church. You see? From the time of our fathers even to this day, great has been our guilt. For our wicked deeds we have been delivered up, and so forth. In other words, we belong to a sinful church. And we have to ask the Lord's pardon for the whole church. And we're part of that church, so we're asking pardon for ourselves. But it's not just our church, I mean our sins. It's everybody's sins. If everybody in the church right now were trying hard to respond to God's love, there'd be peace. The world would change. Christians would be trusted all over the world. And God would protect the church from these onslaughts of hatred, demonic hatred, that we see now over in the Middle East. But the point is, you see, that prayer, when we pray, you see, when we ask pardon, sometimes we should be asking pardon for the whole Christian body. We've disgraced your name. There are 7,000 sects of Christians. Once you leave this way the Lord set it up, once you leave the Roman pontiff, it just starts a process of division. Now, the Orthodox have done pretty well. And right now, we're dialoguing a lot over in Bari, in Italy, to put the church back together. That's so important. One body. How beautiful that would be. So, he's repenting, right? But not just for himself. There are some people who don't even know they're supposed to repent. Besides, all our neighbors. We don't know. Maybe they're all saints. Maybe we're bringing up the rear. We don't know. But I'll bet you there's people out there who desperately need the Lord's help. And so we pray for them. And they may not even know in the top part of their consciousness that they should be repenting. So we repent for them and with them. And then the gospel. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, both. Because certainly what's going on in Syria right now is demonically inspired. Such cruelty, such hatred, such murder. You see? And they don't have a monopoly. We could get under that kind of thing if we're not careful. But that's Satan taunting God. These are your image. Look what they're doing to each other. And I'm making them do it. That's where the war is. Okay. So, to proclaim the kingdom and to give and have power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Okay. So then when you go, you don't need anything. You don't need some crib notes on how you're going to preach. In fact, he says, you don't need a walking stick or a sack or food or money. Just start. People do that, you know. The Franciscans still try to do that. You see? And then remember you're baptized. Remember your dignity. Remember who you are. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And the text says leave from there. I think there's something missing from the translation here. But as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet. That's your dignity. Jesus Christ dwells in you. In your mind and heart, you know the meaning of why you're alive and why the whole world exists. Tell everybody. And if they reject you, you see, they're rejecting me. So shake the very dust from your feet. You don't want anything of them to cling to you. And let that be a witness. These guys are serious. You see? So they went out from village to village, doing just what the Lord told them to do, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. That's the good news.